in heaven, we come this morning thanking you, Lord God, for this day. Thank you, Lord God, for allowing us to come together to break bread together. And then, Lord, we pray that the words of my mouth, the meditation of my heart, be acceptable in your sight. My Lord, my Savior, my Redeemer. Amen. We'd like to look this morning from this passage of Scripture, and we're going to speak briefly from that fourth verse this morning. And in this passage of Scripture, the 15th chapter of St. John, this is Jesus speaking to the disciples and to us today. In that fourth verse, he says, "Abide in me, and I in you, as a branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine. Neither can you unless you abide in me." We'd like to speak with you this morning just very briefly on this subject, this thought, abiding in Christ. Abiding in Christ. Well, what does it mean to abide? The dictionary tells us that the word abide means to remain, to continue, or to stay. It is to continue in a particular condition, continue in a particular attitude, and more importantly, to continue in a relationship. So you see, to abide in Christ means for us to purposefully and intentionally remain in an ongoing relationship with Him. It means not giving up, despite whatever doubts or hardships that may come our way. Abiding in Christ means allowing God to work through us, to transform us so that our character becomes more like His. Paul tells us in Romans 12:2, he says, "And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind." So you see, He transforms us so that He can transform others through us. Amen? And as we look this morning at text in this 15th chapter of John, we find Jesus here again teaching His disciples. And He's teaching them and us today a very graphic but very important lesson that we all need to learn and understand. This great lesson this morning, He talks about the vine and the branches. And more importantly, He's talking about the kind of relationship that we are to have with our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And if we read the previous chapters in the book of John, the Gospel of John, we'll find him talking about the I Am of Jesus. Amen. And in each area, in each group, He was giving them and revealing to them and to us today just who He is and who He will be and who we are to know Him for. First of all, he began to talk to them and talking to them about, he claimed, first of all, that I know Abraham. And when he said that, many of the people upset with him, and they told him, "You're not even old enough to know Abraham." But you see, when you look at the first two verses in John, it tells us that in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and He was in the beginning with God. So Jesus in John 8 and 58 came back and told him, he said, "Before Abraham was, mm-hmm. I am." Mm-hmm. And he continued on throughout the previous verses of John, and we won't go into each one, but we'll just briefly know that there were seven I ams. And the second one, he told him, "I am the bread of life." He goes, "I am the light of the world. I am the door of the sheep. I am the good shepherd." The sixth one was another important one when he told him, he said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life." And now as we come down to scripture today, the passage today, we come to the seventh and very important I am, because the 15 and 1, Jesus say, "I am the true vine." And we'll talk a little bit more about this in a few minutes. But you see, the imagery of the vine and the branches that Jesus uses was known in the history of Israel. They knew, man, about this illustration of being the vine and the branches, because in the Old Testament, Israel, you'll find, was called God's vine of Israel. And you can find reference to that in Psalms 80 and 8 and Jeremiah 2 and 21. The problem, however, with Israel is that they failed to abide. Because of their failure to abide, they had an inability to produce fruit in accordance to the righteousness of God. You see, he said in there, "I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he taketh away, and every branch that bears fruit, he prunes, that it may bear more fruit." You see, fruit bearing, in order to bear fruit, you got to abide. That branch has got to be attached and abide in the vine for all of the nutrition and things that is needed in order to bear fruit. We find there in that first two verses there's four phases of the fruit bearing. Either you bear no fruit, or you bear some fruit, or you bear more fruit, and then you go on to bear much fruit. What does it mean to say a Christian is to bear fruit? I believe it means to bear converts, to bear the righteousness. Our Christian, our character and everything. Because I used to think that when it says bearing fruit, meaning that if you weren't. You know, bringing others to Christ and bringing a lot of folks and enticing them and encouraging them, which we ought to do. But it also means the fruit in our own character, because that is what really is the thing that maybe not what we are expressing or saying, but through our character and our being, the way we carry ourselves and lift ourselves and show ourselves before man, this is what the type of fruit that we ought to be producing. In Galatians tell us that the fruit of the Spirit is love. We ought to have some love. We ought to have some joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness. We ought to definitely have some self-control. And when you see someone, you profess to be a Christian, amen, and they are not exemplifying or showing, you don't find this type of fruit in their lives, then there's something there that they tell us that most likely they are not abiding. Amen. How do we, when we talk about how do we abide, you know, in Christ? And I believe there are six things that is required or is involved in abiding in Christ. You might say they are the six C's of abiding. The first one would be conversion. You see, you cannot abide in Christ unless you're converted. Everything begins with receiving Christ, amen, as our Lord and Savior, to turning over our lives to Him and allowing Him to come in and to work with us and to abide with us, because you said that if you abide in me, I will abide in you. So the first thing in being able to abide in Christ, we must be converted. The second is closeness. You see, to abide in Christ means to have a closeness to Christ. We must live close to our Lord and Savior in order to abide in Him. But when you say, when you think about it, not only the conversion or the closeness, but there's something else that goes along with that closeness that is even more important, and that is the third one, which is communion. To abide in Christ means more than just closeness in a location. It's more than just being in the sanctuary in church on Sunday morning. But it's a closeness that communes. You see, we all know you can sit beside somebody on a bus or on an airplane for a short or even a long trip and not talk at all. But you see, that's not the closeness that is needed for us to abide in Christ. It's a closeness that communes. It's one that means that you need to pray regularly. You need to talk to them. Amen? You need to spend time with our Lord and Savior in prayer. Amen? It means that we need to meditate, read and meditate on His Word, and to glorify, first of all, God in everything that we do. And when we say communion, it's a two-way street. It's not just what we are saying, but it's a two-way communion, which means that we also have to have some quiet time. We have to remain quiet and just listen to what God has to say to us. Listen to His voice. Amen? Because sometimes, it's a small, still voice, but He talks to us when we commune with Him. The fourth thing or C would be commands. Command. Abiding in Christ, it is a command. It's not a suggestion. Is that right? Because he said, in that for where he said abide in me. He didn't say you know, it's not a suggestion that maybe you ought to, you know, abide in me. He said abide in me. Amen. That is a command. That is a something that tell us that to abide in Christ, you have to, first of all, you got to obey him. See? You must conform to his will and to his way. Jesus said, and I believe the 14th chapter, around the 23rd verse of John, if a man love me, he will keep my words, and my Father will love him and come unto him and make our abode with him. We'll come to him and we'll abide with him. If you love me, if you keep my commandments. And the fifth thing, or C, would be consistency. Consistency. So to abide is to insist or continue. Amen? Or to have some consistency in our relationship with him. To abide in Christ is not, in other words, it's not a temporary act, but it requires for us to remain steadfast, unmovable, amen, and to stay there and to stay with him, no matter what challenges we may face, no matter what situations we may find ourselves in. When everything is doing well, when we're doing fine, and when we need to stay there, when friends turn their back on us, don't want to be with us, and they let us down, no matter what the situation is, we need to be consistent. We need to stay there and to stay focused, amen, and to continue to stay close and to commune with our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. The sixth one, we'll find that if we do that, it'll bring about a compensation. And our text tells us that you do not abide in Christ, you will not bear fruit. So the compensation for abiding in him, Christ, is our fruitfulness. So we need to be faithful in our living, and we need to continue to remain close to him and commune with him. Amen? Because he said in that seventh verse, if you abide in me and my word abide in you, you will ask what you desire, and it shall be done for you. Amen. So, as I close this morning, I'm reminded that an old song that some of us may remember and know, where the Bible says that without God, I could do nothing. Without him, my life would fail. Without God, my life would be rugged, just like a ship without a sail. So abiding isn't just having prayer time, but abiding is having a prayer life, is living, you might say, moment by moment, with the knowledge that Christ, that with Christ, in other words, we can do anything, amen? If we got Christ, amen, we can do all things, amen? So, to witness, we need need to, if we go out and we witnessed and we sing, no matter how glorious it may sound, even if we preach without abiding and without relying on God, amen, is to say to him that I can do it all by myself. And he already told us that without me, you can do nothing. So, my brothers and sisters, this morning, I would like for us to remember if we abide in Christ, he will abide in us.